morning and welcome listeners to this special Memorial Day broadcast of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor shooting range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road, right across from BP&L. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com, or you can give us a call at 937-293-3914. Sim Trainer is a full-service indoor shooting range, and we specialize in providing shooting enthusiasts with recreational shooting opportunities, with firearms training. We have a try it before you buy it program where we give people an opportunity to test fire a variety of firearms that we have in stock. We typically stock the most popular brands of guns that people are interested in purchasing for personal protection or for recreational shooting. And the Try It Before You Buy It program is a great opportunity for you to come out and test fire a gun that you might be looking at before you buy it, so that you make an informed purchase and you have long-lasting satisfaction with that firearm. We also offer a variety of training courses at Sim Trainer, starting with our award-winning First Shots program. And our First Shots program is designed for people who have little to no experience in shooting. And it's a three-hour program. We offer it twice a month. The next one is coming up on next Saturday. I believe that class is full. However, we have another class coming up later in June on the 23rd, June 23rd from 6 to 9 p.m. In the evening, if you're so interested. And basically that class is set up in such a way that we give you an hour of classroom instruction where we talk about range safety and firearm safety, basic functional operation of a firearm, and a variety of related issues. And then we take you out on the range for a fun one-hour experience shooting 50 rounds in a controlled environment under the direct supervision of our trained staff. We focus on the basic fundamentals, trying to get you real accurate real quick. And interestingly enough, we have students in that class ranging in age from 10 to 80, and we bring them up to a very high level of proficiency in a very short period of time, and they have a great experience. We bring them back into the classroom, and then we close the class for the last half hour to 45 minutes talking about ways they can enjoy the shooting sports, continue to advance their firearms training interests, and a variety of different topics related to what we do at Sim Trainer. Typically, after the First Shots class, people go on to either private lessons where we can spend some one-on-one time trying to get them more familiar with firearms, or they go to our basic handgun class where they have a chance to shoot eight to ten of our more popular firearms so they can determine what gun that they might want. If they're going to go on to competitive shooting, if they're going to go on to the concealed carry class or whatever the case might be, we bring them up to speed pretty quick. So that's kind of the natural progression. They go from First Shots to the basic class or private lessons. And then for those who are interested, many of those people came to First Shots initially just to get that initial exposure, and then they have intentions of going on to get their concealed holder's license, and we offer the concealed carry class. And for those of you that might be interested in the concealed holder's class or the concealed carry class, that class is next going to be offered on Monday through Thursday evening, June 13th through the 16th. From 5:30 to 9:30. That's Monday through Thursday, June 13th through the 16th, from 5:30 to 9:30. And that class obviously goes four hour sessions, and it includes everything from the legal update presented by a prosecuting attorney to overview of firearms. It's similar to what we do in the first part of First Shots, because we realize many people, that is their introductory course. They don't take the First Shots class. They come to concealed carry, and we have to provide that basic foundational information. Then we take them out on the range again under the direct supervision of trained staff, and we have them shoot a designated course of fire. And then we close the class with some discussion about related issues concerning what their people are about to get into. Some people just think the process is just going through the training, get your license, and then you're good to go. Well, we tell them, in addition to the legal issues that they have to be familiar with, there's also some practical, tactical issues that they're going to have to be concerned about when they decide to carry and potentially use a gun in personal protection. So we cover the full gamut and give people an opportunity to come up to what we consider to be the minimum acceptable level of competency in a very short order of time, because we realize that they go get their license, it could be, you know, within that first month that they might be faced with a deadly force situation. So we want to make sure that they're ready for that. And then we encourage them to go on to additional training, which I'll talk to you more about in a little while. I'm going to encourage our callers, if you're so inclined, you have any questions, comments, concerns, to give us a call at 457-1290. That's 457-1290, and we'd be more than glad to get you on the air. We realize that there's some new listeners out there, and we certainly want you to. We're glad that you tuned in this morning, and if you weren't expecting us, you might have been expecting one of the other regularly scheduled programs. We're glad to be here with you, and we hope that we're able to provide you with a information-packed hour. And Mark says we got some callers on the phone.
We do. Let's go out and talk to Jim in Springfield, who has a comment for us. Jim, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling.
Morning, how are you guys?
We are doing great for this early morning on Memorial Day. How can we help you?
Got a couple questions here. First of all, magazine law for the state of Ohio.
Okay.
I believe it's something to do with being over 30 rounds as being considered a machine gun in the state of Ohio. Is that correct?
Yes. There's a one of the provisions in, or one of the definitions of a machine gun includes if the firearm can fire more than 31 rounds without reloading. And so typically that means 30 rounds in the magazine plus one in the chamber, and that's where you get to the 31. It's not so much a ban on a magazine of a larger capacity. It's loading the magazine above 30 rounds and putting it in a gun is what causes it to meet the definition of an automatic firearm. And that applies only for firearms other than 22. So if 22 long rifle, any of the 22 calibers, it doesn't apply to those.
So you're saying I can own a magazine that'll hold 40 rounds, but as long as I don't have over 30 rounds in it, I can carry it.
Can have it. That's correct. You can have. I mean, there's no law that bans possession of them. Only it includes them in the definition of what is an automatic firearm when the magazine is loaded above 30 rounds and it's applied to the gun.
Let me ask you a question here regarding people who have relatives with firearms and have, say, good collection, and the relative passes away, and they go to sell these firearms. Do they have to have some type of an FFL person to sell those firearms for them? Isn't their definition if you sell over three firearms in a year that it's considered you're being a dealer without a license?
No. In a case of a death in the family, an individual inherits a firearms collection. There are no specific rules governing the distribution of those firearms. The possible exception would be any firearms that may be classified as automatic firearms, machine guns that were obtained before registered. Passing them on is going to be almost impossible. We've had some unfortunate circumstances that I've been exposed to where a person had a vintage, in one case, a vintage 45 caliber Thompson machine gun, and because of the circumstances, it ended up having to be parted out, and then the receiver had to be destroyed. But for the typical firearms that a person is going to have in their safe, shotguns, rifles, pistols, there's no problem with that, and they're able to sell them. And I just encourage people to make sure they link up with someone who knows a little bit about them, because there are people out there who would take advantage of them. I want to comment a little bit on one more time on the previous question you had about carrying the magazines with more than 40 rounds in it or more than 30 rounds in it. One thing you got to be cautious of because of I personally consider a glitch in recent law is when you're carrying magazines in your vehicle. Let's say you're going to the shooting range, and be out of convenience on a day like today, if you were going out to the range and you just didn't want to spend the time in the hot, humid air loading those magazines, you can't load the magazines at home and then transport them to the range and then shoot the gun and then bring the magazines home because of that, I think, very unfortunate provision in the law from about 18 months ago, Mark?
It was from September of 2008.
Yeah, where they said that a loaded gun, part of the definition of a loaded gun included a magazine for that particular gun, having rounds regardless of where it was in the vehicle. And I think that's something that I would hope that we're able to funnel out of the law here very shortly, because I think the people that included that language kind of misunderstood the whole concept of loaded gun, and obviously they were uninformed. And the impact of that is far-reaching, because typically people go to the range. Let's say they take an AR-type M4 rifle, and they have magazines, and regardless of the capacity, whether it's 10, 20, or 30-round mags, they like to load those up at home, go down and shoot on the range, and then come home, and then they clean their gun, and they get ready for the next range session. Well, as it stands now, they can't load those magazines until they get to the range.
One of the aspects of that, it was an improvement, actually. As bad as that is, it's better than it used to be, because that removed the provision that says not having ammunition ready at hand which wasn't defined. And so then as a result, you had people who were accidentally carrying a loaded firearm or what was determined to be a loaded firearm, even though there was no ammunition in the gun. And so they changed that by saying there is no longer a provision for ready at hand, so the ammunition can be anywhere. It can be in the same bag with your gun as long as the magazines aren't loaded. Now, if you have a license to carry a concealed handgun, a handgun can be loaded while you're transporting it, and so having it in a case that's in plain sight and having loaded magazines there with it is perfectly legitimate for a handgun. But for a rifle, for any long gun, and for anything with a magazine capacity greater than 30 rounds, you wouldn't be able to transport that because you can't carry dangerous ordnance as a part of your concealed handgun license. So even if you had that magazine, as long as it wasn't loaded beyond 30 rounds, then that would be all right as well.
Speaking of leaving a firearm in the car,
sure.
What happens to somebody who has a concealed carry permit? They leave a firearm in, the console, and their spouse or somebody else drives that car, and they don't take that pistol out. What kind of problem is that person going to have with driving the car now that don't have a concealed carry permit? I have friends who tell me they've done that sometimes and wonder if their wife's going to get in trouble.
Yes, actually, she could very well get in trouble because the fact that the licensee is registered on that vehicle will inform the police officer that's stopping that person. I mean, that'll show up in the record that the owner has a license to carry a concealed handgun. And therefore, they will be expecting to be notified that they have a handgun or that something to that effect, and may well ask, I mean, is there a handgun here? At that point, that would maybe her first recollection that, oh, by the way, my husband has a license, and yeah, there's probably one in the car. That's a bad situation. So yeah, you definitely do not want to leave the handgun in the car. And frankly, we don't recommend leaving a handgun in the car anyway, just because if somebody steals your car, they get your handgun.
Right. I've had a couple of friends who went in some place that was an establishment that didn't allow a firearm, and they left it in there, and they forgot it and came back home.
Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah. You can't forget it.
One last question here. What do you think about concealed carry insurance?
You're talking about personal protection insurance, so what do you do after, you know, what happens after the fact?
Right.
There's some interesting things that are going on around that right now. I'm going to kind of defer this for right now, partly because we need to take a break here in just a few seconds, but also because there are some changes that will be in effect as early as next week, and some options that are not currently available that will be available. I personally carry insurance, but there's homeowners insurance that may also cover the what happens in your home. So, you know, if you were to have to defend yourself, there may be some insurance that will allow you to provide for defense.
Kind of consider it out in public myself. Well, that's kind of what I'm looking to see for something available for you if you carry it public.
All right. Jim, thanks very much for calling the show, and we will address that on a later program. We need to take our first break of the hour. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio WHIO.
Hi, this is Rachel Parsons, spokesperson for the National Rifle Association, and you're on Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio WHIO.
I want to welcome our listeners back to this special Memorial Day broadcast of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by Sim Trainer. Our show typically airs on Saturdays from 2 to 3, and I want to encourage any of our listeners out there today, if you're so inclined, to tune in on Saturdays from 2 to 3 if you'd like to hear a little bit about guns, the gun-related issues that we talk about on the show on a weekly basis, and we certainly welcome you for tuning in today. I want to remind our listeners that today, since it is Memorial Day, just to again take a step back and kind of be mindful of what this day is all about. I know there's been quite a bit of programming on television, a lot of articles in the newspaper, and rightfully so. We're paying tribute to those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice to first of all, get the freedoms that we share, and then to maintain the freedoms that we share on a daily basis. And I want to encourage our listeners to try to get in the spirit of the day and remember what it's all about as you go about your festivities wrapping up the holiday weekend. There's a special memorial service today at 11 o'clock on Memorial Parkway at the Vietnam Veterans of America. Actually, it's the Miami Valley Vietnam Veterans of America.
I'm not sure.
They have a memorial that they've just recently constructed down on Memorial Parkway. And Memorial Parkway, for those of you who don't know where that's at, that's the access road. It's just north of the Stewart Street Bridge as you're going north on Patterson or South Dixie, as many people refer to it. And you cross it over Stewart Street. Just to the left, there's an access road that runs along the river for a short spell. And they have a memorial that they've constructed there. And they're having a memorial service this morning at 11 o'clock, and Dave Fuchs, who's the Miami Valley Chapter 97 trustee, wanted me to remind our listeners that if you want to spend some time paying tribute, that would be a great service to attend. I'm sure they said they're going to have some guest speakers and some special festivities going on, but again, it's on Memorial Parkway just north of the Stewart Street Bridge as you're going north on Patterson Boulevard or South Dixie, and it's kind of catty corner from the Marriott Hotel. Not too far from where we're at right now, actually, here at the studio. But that would be a great way to spend Memorial Day, and encourage our listeners, if you have the opportunity, to go out there. The last caller brought up a variety of interesting issues, and Mark and I were talking on the break about this whole idea of insurance, and the United States Concealed Carry Association is going to be coming out with some special provisions next week. But I just wanted to comment that insurance is your security blanket. Because of the way the world is, because of the fact that litigation seems to drive many people's motivations for doing things on a day-to-day basis, it's a good idea to have that insurance in place. We also encourage you to at least have a plan in place that you're going to do if you're ever involved in an incident, what you're going to do. And when you talk about a plan, I think the first part of that plan is to kind of keep your mouth shut until you have an opportunity to talk to your attorney. And second part of that plan, we'll have a phone number of an attorney that you can consult regardless of the time of day or night, so that you can get yourself into a situation where you're not going to be wrongfully accused or other issues are going to be brought against you, and you have an opportunity to discuss the legal issues with somebody who knows what they're talking about.
And we had a really great conversation with attorney Penny Dean, who's not an Ohio attorney. She's from New Hampshire. But when I was at the NRA annual meeting a couple of weeks ago, we were able to talk with her, and she had some really great comments about what do you do in that situation and how do you prepare yourself mentally for what happens after the fact. And I think that's, you know, if you'd like to go back and listen to our show from the NRA annual meeting, it was really an excellent interview, and I think she had some really great pointers, things that sometimes people don't think about. And when they start to carry a firearm for personal defense, yes, they may have done the mental preparation that's necessary to get ready for the violent encounter, but there's a lot of things that will happen after the fact that you also need to be prepared for, and having a plan, even though the plan may not work exactly as you envisioned it, having a plan gives you the preparation that's necessary to make sure that you'll come through that situation and come through it well. We need to take our break at the bottom of the hour because we'll be going into the News Center with Liz Anderson. Give us a call at 457-1290 if there's anything we can help you with, some questions that you may have about firearms and concealed carry. We'd love to be able to help you. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
I want to welcome our listeners back to this special Memorial Day broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. Brought to you by Sim Trainer. Sim Trainer is the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. And for those new listeners out there who may be the first time you've heard about us, we're located at 2031 Dryden Road. 2031 Dryden Road, right across from DP&L. You can visit us on the web at sim-trainer.com, or you can give us a call at 937-293-3914. And our facility is such that we have an indoor range that features 10 stalls. They're 68 to 70 feet long. We have a mechanical target retrieval system. It's air conditioned in the summer, heated in the winter. We have a stock shooter supply store, and we have a classroom where we do most of our training. And if you have an opportunity, we're open 32 hours a week for recreational shooting and for just general information dissemination. Those hours are Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 9 p.m., Tuesday and Thursday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., all day Saturday from 9 to 5, and Sunday afternoon from 1 to 5. In addition to that, we have our competitive Tuesday Tactical League on Tuesday evenings from about 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And if you're interested in getting involved in competitive shooting, that'd be a great opportunity for you to get started. Come down, and I'd encourage you to watch the first two times, first time or two, if you haven't done it much. And then we can tell you, if you don't have much training, we can get you into the training realm, or we can get you directly involved in the competitive shooting if you've had a little bit of training in your past.
And you may want to bring your toys with you if you come just to watch, because there's a lot of people that come and watch the first time and say, yeah, I think maybe I can do that. And so they have their stuff with them in the car, and then they can sign up for the league. And it's really not very expensive. It's like $12 to register for the league. And then for that particular week, you don't have to shoot the entire league. If you want to compete and get, you know, in the competition for prizes, you need to shoot at least 5 of 8 weeks, and we'll take your 5 best scores, and that will be how we determine who the league winners are. And it's a lot of fun. For me personally, I enjoy the practice. It gives me an opportunity every week to come out and get a few rounds behind my gun in a situation that you really can't do in the stall. And that's kind of the reason that we do this Tuesday Tactical Training League. It gives you an opportunity to move and shoot, to draw from the holster, and shoot around barricades and shoot at targets that move, and shoot while you're moving, things that really you can't do when you're there practicing. You can work on the fundamentals, and that's a very important thing to do in the stall, but it's not the complete package, and that's part of what we do with this other program. Just one other thing I want to mention is that even though we are normally open Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings, we will be closed today in honor of Memorial Day. We did have a caller during the break that who called and wanted to ask a question but didn't want to do that on the air, and the question is about, it was related to some of the other discussions on what happens after the shooting. The question is, you know, what do you do when you're trying to find an attorney? How do you find an attorney that is going to be a good person to have in your dialed in your speed dial on your phone, someone that you can contact in the case of a violent encounter? Because you have a right to an attorney, and you should exercise that right. It's sometimes difficult to find, especially because much of the law profession has been indoctrinated with this anti-gun philosophy. It comes through the schools. It comes through the law schools. There's a lot of folks out there who you probably don't want defending you because they're not really in believing that what you're doing is probably the right thing to do. We know of one in particular, Stephen T. Pearson, who is actually a sponsor of our program. His information is on our website. At his phone number is 937-299-2995. You can get that at sim-trainer.com/radio, which is the homepage for the radio program, Shooting from the Hip. So you can find that information there, and I would say contact him. We have some of his cards at the range, but the best thing that you can do is to have an established relationship with whoever it is that's going to defend you in that situation when you've had to defend your life or defend the life of someone else in that situation where deadly force was justified and necessary. That's not the time to be looking for an attorney. You want to know who it is that you're going to be contacting. I have his number in my speed dial on my cell phone. That he's going to be my first call, and I just want to make sure that everything is done right. You need to have someone there to speak on your behalf. The Sixth Amendment guarantees your right to competent defense. That only applies if you exercise it. If you don't realize how important it is and you try to defend yourself, or you make statements that later you don't have the option of retracting because they've already been said, that's a mistake. And that's a mistake that can cost you dearly in terms of your liberty, because the court system is bound to do what the court system needs to do, and that is to try to convict people who have done things that are wrong. And if you make statements that give an impression about what happened that wasn't the correct impression, but you've made those statements are in the record, and they will be used against you. That's exactly what the Miranda warning tells you, and that is absolutely true. So you need to make sure that you have an attorney in your corner, and certainly Stephen T. Pearson is one of those guys who's on the list, and I'm sure there are others out there. We'd love to hear from them, but right now that's one that we know of, because he's been a sponsor of our show since pretty much the beginning of our being on the air.
And I just want to add to that by mentioning that there's, depending on your experiences, there's people who have varying opinions of attorneys. And I want to tell you that in 25 years of law enforcement, I had the opportunity to first meet Steve probably 20 early on in my career, where he and I literally went head to head in the courtroom where he was representing clients where I'd brought criminal charges or traffic charges against them. And the level of respect that he afforded us resulted in an immediate respect that I had for him from the very beginning. He's a very personable individual. He does his job to the utmost of his ability, but he still maintains that personal integrity and that respect for humankind that I think most people look for. And I just have to tell you, he's a genuine person, very knowledgeable. He was one of the people who kind of jumped on this from the beginning and said, look, there's going to be people out there who are going to need attorneys, and they're going to be desperate because there aren't going to be anybody out there that has experience in this area. And he went to the extra effort to educate himself. He does that on a regular basis. We've had numerous conversations. When I called him to ask him about sponsoring the show, it was without hesitation. When I called him to ask him about whether he was going to renew the second year, it was without hesitation. He did so, and it's been a great partnership, and I want to encourage you to give some serious thought when you get into a situation, because he knows his stuff, and he's a great person to have around and have in your corner when things aren't going so well.
We had him on the show back in 2010, in January of 2010, so if you want to go back and hear that program, you can do that on our website at sim-trainer.com/radio. Scroll down the page to January 16th of 2010 and listen to the show that we had from that day. It's very instructive, and he was a great guest, and actually we need to get him on the air again soon.
Yeah, well, as a matter of fact, I just had a conversation with him about 3 weeks ago. I shared that information with you and a couple other members when he dropped off some of his cards, and he said that as soon as he gets through a busy part of his period here in June, probably late June, early July, he wants to come on the show and talk about some of the updates and some of the changes in the law and the implications for individuals.
So those of you who are listening to our program for the first time, because this is not the hour that we're normally on, be sure to tune in on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, and we'll get him on as soon as we possibly can when he gets a break. Let's go back out to the phones and talk to Jeff in Vandalia, who has a comment for us. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's it going?
Hey, we're doing great. This is a great day to be alive on Memorial Day.
Yes, it is, and thank God for the Second Amendment.
How can we help you?
I have two things. First would be, I guess you could say, a comment. I work at a range in Vandalia, and I've been doing it for about 4 or 5 years now. Been like firearms coach. I help with OPATA. I help with the Sinclair Community College Police Academy, stuff like that.
So, okay.
Also in charge of security. I'm the barn master with the horses, so I get around a lot and I hear a lot. One of the things I wanted to bring up about the 30-round clip issue, it's probably the best way to start this would be, hearsay is that Hillary Clinton, when the congressman got shot, that was a 30-round clip that was used. I believe it also was either a Glock or Sig.
Yeah, it was in a Glock. And
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I heard it right then. Okay, so anyway, I guess Hillary went berserk over the whole thing and got all excited. So you know how, like with a CCW, if you're here in Ohio and you go to Florida, if you go through Georgia, you have to disarm everything as if you don't even have a CCW until you get through the state, and then as soon as you get into Lake City, Florida, you can pack everything back up to CCW again.
Actually, that's not completely accurate because...
Well, that's kind of why I was bringing it up, because there's a little bit of error in between all these issues.
Right. As far as Georgia...
What were you going to say about it now?
Well, Georgia allows you to carry in your vehicle because they consider your motor vehicle an extension of your home.
Well, from what I understand is, or at least what I had been told, is they didn't recognize what you're talking about is referred to as the castle law.
Well, that's just the way, it's not part of their castle law as much as it is just the way the Georgia law is written with respect to firearms in the motor vehicle.
Okay, well, I mean, you know, it's like I said, this is hearsay, you know, there's nothing, it seems like when it comes to these kind of things, there's nothing ground set for some reason, I've noticed.
Well, the laws are different, they vary widely from state to state, there's no question about that.
Well, you got that right. That's pretty much has a lot to do with my comment about the 30-round clip issue. Last count that I have heard about it, well, first of all, when we get them, they fly off the shelf like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, sure. They're happy sticks.
I mean, people are buying them just as fast as we can get them in. But anyway, getting back to the deal, the last count I heard was that there were 5 states that did one of those speed legislation things and actually outlawed the sale of the 30-round clip, and I believe it was either Nevada or Arizona. It might have been, could have been where the congressman got shot, but So now there are certain states that are saying, well, no, we're not going to allow you to buy them. And if you're going to buy them, you get somewhere else, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know which way that ended up going and, you know, whether anything got set in stone on that. But I would hate to see somebody, you know, with a CCW and go through there. They're going to catch them on a nook. You know what I mean?
I do, and I want to thanks very much for calling the show. Unfortunately, we need to take our last break of the hour, so I will send it over to the control room. Give us a call if you'd like to be on the show at 457-1290, and we will be back in just a few minutes on Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
I want to welcome our listeners back to this special Memorial Day broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. I'm Jeff Pedro in with Mark Avery, and we're from Sim Trainer, and we're certainly glad that you've joined us this morning. I want to encourage our listeners, if you have the opportunity today, to take the opportunity to go down to the Vietnam Memorial on the Memorial Parkway and participate in their memorial service at 11 o'clock this morning. 11 o'clock this morning on Memorial Parkway, just north of the Stewart Street Bridge, a little access road that runs along the river. They have a beautiful memorial that the students from the University of Dayton helped them construct and did some really nice artistic paintings, and it'll be a great opportunity for you to pay tribute on this very special Memorial Day.
Let's go out to the phones, and we'll talk to Wes in Springboro, who's got a question for us. Wes, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're doing great. We got about a minute or so left.
Okay, I was wondering if Ohio respects the law of extension of your home and your vehicle?
No.
And if they don't, is there a legal way to carry a weapon, broke down, clip out, locked in a glove box?
Okay. Yeah, Ohio does not recognize the motor vehicle as an extension of your home. And so it does have has several special provisions for how you can carry a firearm. You can have it unloaded, and unloaded, of course, includes, as we mentioned earlier, having the magazines completely unloaded or speed loaders if it's a revolver. So you can't have any magazines that are loaded or any speed loaders that are loaded. The gun has to be unloaded. It does not need to be broken down. If it's a handgun inside a case, that's fine. The case can be in plain sight, but it doesn't have to be. As long as the gun is unloaded, transport in a motor vehicle is perfectly fine. There are several other provisions. You can have it in a compartment that cannot be accessed from inside the vehicle. Most trunks nowadays don't qualify because you can get into the trunk. But if you have some other kind of compartment, or if you have a car that has a trunk that actually you cannot get into from inside the vehicle, then that would satisfy. And then it would not need to be in a case. There are a couple other provisions. You can have it in a rack. Usually that's for a long gun, or if it's meets certain standards, it can be just broken down and not in a case. But those are the ways that you can carry an unloaded firearm in a motor vehicle, and that you can do without any sort of a license.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling the show. We just have about just a little while left, and we're going to need to punch out of here. And so we want to thank those of you who have joined us this morning. This was a great show, and I really thank our callers for calling in and sticking with us through this new time change for Memorial Day. It is Memorial Day, and it's time, I think, that we need to reflect a little bit on what the price is that has been paid to pay for our freedom. Memorial Day started back after the Civil War as Decoration Day. It was an opportunity to honor those vets who had given their lives to defend the freedom. And although this country was divided over what that should mean, we have since been able to come back together and be unified as a country. And that we owe tremendous debt to those who have gone before us. I spent 20 years in the Air Force. I was never placed in a situation where I was at personal risk, but I know several others who were, and there were some of those have lost their life and are among those who we remember today. My sister-in-law called yesterday. Her father, my father-in-law, was an Army vet, and he spent several tours in Vietnam. He's passed several years ago now, but she was missing him, and as we all do, he was a great man. Maybe there's somebody that you can remember that you can pass along that heritage to the people who you know. Pass that heritage on to your family and friends. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.